Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
Be it a christening, a wedding or a funeral, candles are a way to mark a special moment or occasion. We've no shortage of heritage candle makers in this country, so for this week's industry review, I wanted to find out a little bit more about those that are keeping this amazing tradition lit, let's call it. I'm delighted to be joined here in the studio by Vincent Brady. He's the general manager out there at Rathbones. Also joining me is Mark van der Berg, the creative director of Max Benjamin down in Enniskerry. And joining us on the phone is Lisa Barnett of the Irish Chandler over there in Lahinch in County Clare. And I might start with you, Lisa, if I could. Can you tell me a little bit about your business and how it came about?
Yeah, hi, Bobby. Lovely to speak to you.
Yeah, lovely to talk to you as well.
Yeah, it's a sunny day in Lahinch.
That's good. That's a good start.
Yeah, it is. So I haven't been making candles for a very, very long time. I started in 2017 after we discovered a family member had sensitivity to candles. I initially thought that it was the perfumes or the fragrances that were used in the candles that we lit around the house. And it was just by luck, we actually worked it out that it's actually the wax, the type of wax that was used. So that's where my candle journey started.
Okay.
I had a little gift, cest from the internet just to see if I could have a go at making them myself, using plant-based products. So like a soy wax. And it worked out. We worked out that it was the paraffin that the family member has a sensitivity to.
Wow. And tell me this then, did you just basically, you started small, you went to markets, you sold out every day and you built the business from there, Lisa, yeah?
I did. I'm one of those businesses that started in the kitchen.
Oh, well done.
And now I have a workshop next to the house.
And you now have, like, you say you've got, what, 20-odd active distributors?
Mainly Irish stockists. So I have an online and I have a little shop myself in Lahinch.
Good job. Well, stay with us because I have a couple of other guests I want to introduce. The elder man or the elder business in the room, let's call it, is managed by a man called Vincent Brady. I know him well from Rathbones Candles. Vincent, you're very welcome to the programme.
Cheers, Bobby. It's great to be here.
Now, the history of Rathbones is quite unique. Not only are you the oldest business in Ireland, some would say you're the oldest business in the world.
Well, we're oldest manufacturing company in the world now.
So wow.
Still in existence. There are probably some businesses out there a little bit older than us, but I think after 537 years of making candles here in Dublin, I think it's just a phenomenal achievement.
What a great claim to fame.
Absolutely. Very unique selling point as well to have when you're out there to promote the product.
Okay. You know, so. Tell us a bit about the business, Vincent. And again, it's probably moved a few times over the decades.
Absolutely. Yeah. So it's one of our strengths has always been our ability to keep evolving with the times. And traditionally, we've been a church supplier over the last over the last couple of hundred years. So we've been in 2015. Then we kind of said, well, look, I was never happy just having one revenue stream.
Yeah.
So we've a huge amount of expertise in house with all our waxes and stuff like that, our candle making machines. So we took the leap into the luxury scented candle market. And
that must have been a fairly big decision, you know, a very traditional business in a very traditional market that was the church. And I suppose you probably saw, you know, the future of the church with churches getting smaller, as in not enough priests to fill dioceses, etc.
Yeah.
Clearly was going to have an effect on your business.
Absolutely. So you have to keep looking ahead. Everyone has to keep looking at your strengths and weaknesses. And we said, right, we're great candle making people. Let's start spreading that expertise into other areas.
Yeah,
that's
good job.
We evolved into that, you know.
So, okay. Yeah.
And it's still great. The church is still great. I mean, we're still our bread and butter of the business.
But, yeah.
You know, it's nice to have other revenue streams.
Absolutely. Well, you know? And as I say, I always have more than one horse in the race.
Absolutely.
Max van der Berg, good to see you again.
Thanks for having me.
It's funny, I know all the candle makers. I don't know what has my interest in the subject, but good to see you, Mark.
Thanks very much.
How are things down in Enniskerry?
Great. Thanks very much. As you know, you've been down there, you've poured a few candles yourself. We have a tradition as well in the industry. Orla, my sister, she started the business back in the mid-90s where she was hand-pouring church-style candles, similar to what Vincent's company did originally. And then she went off and she was just doing it as a hobby, really. And she was selling in a few shops in Dublin and she doing a few trade shows. And then she, she'd met her husband-to-be, Barry, and they had two boys, Max and Ben. And that's where the tradition came from, because the boys were always playing around the factory when they were younger. And that's where the name Max Benjamin came from.
Sure, yeah.
In case anyone didn't know. But again, like the guys here, everything is hand-poured, handmade in Ireland, which we're very proud of. And I was talking to Vincent earlier about this. It's such an important tradition to keep the Irish handmade, the Irish-made thing, especially if you're exporting to America or other countries. It has a huge value that people don't always realise, you know. So I think it's something we're all proud of and we all keep in our DNA, you know. So things are going great now. We're growing the business.
Our listeners might be interested in the, in the wax. Yeah. And again, we heard Lisa there talking about her having a different type of wax.
Yeah.
Where does the wax come from?
Very important.
Like, where is it bought or where is it imported?
Yeah.
We buy natural waxes in from the United States and from around the world. And we use, again, like Lisa, we use natural soy wax. Again, it's a lot, exactly what she said. It's like a very healthy burn. You know, you haven't got, so there's paraffin, there's basically paraffin wax or mineral paraffin wax, and you've got soy wax or other plant-based waxes. And they are just a cleaner, healthier burn. It's like if somebody's got allergies or whatever. So we just use that as a base as well, along with the other guys as well.
Yeah.
It's very important. It's a huge business as well.
Yeah.
You know, it's, and more and more, I think more and more candle makers are starting
to use it. Yeah, we've 100% natural waxes as well, but we actually do a bit of blend with beeswax.
Yeah.
Because that's a kind of a splashback to our church traditional making.
Yeah.
We actually do adjust it with a bee, because beeswax burns longer.
So does it
actually helps the natural waxes burn a bit longer, you know, so.
Tell me about the wick, Vincent. Where are they made? Or that's again a very specialist craft, is it?
Yeah, it's an incredible like craft. Ours are brought in from Italy, and they're all natural cotton made. You know, now the thing with wicks, you know, once you start trying to burn a candle, the wick is nearly the one that gives you the best result,
right?
Because we've got thousands of different wicks, and we have to. If we change the fragrance by 1%, the wick is now useless that we had for. You know, we tend to blend about 12% fragrance into our candles. So if we go to 11% or 13%, the wick we have at 12% doesn't work anymore.
Okay.
So, you know, there's a huge amount of people just see this piece in the middle of the candle and just think they're all the same.
Yeah.
But my experience is there's probably about 3,000 different wicks out there.
Oh, yeah.
And we have to keep playing around with them until we get one that works best with the formula that we have blended in, you know.
Right, well, let's bring Lisa back in again for a second. Lisa, tell me about the scents, how one goes about picking the various scents and matching them with the individual candles. Tell me a little bit about that process.
Well, that's probably one of the biggest questions I get from my customers is asking, did I come up with the name or the fragrance first? I'm influenced by where I live. I'm very lucky to live on the west coast of Ireland with near the Cliffs of Moher and the Burren.
We love the Cliffs of Moher.
Yeah. So it's a beautiful day today as well for it. So my fragrances, obviously with in mind the health being health conscious and keeping it clean, I use mainly fragrances that are produced in Italy and France.
Right.
And these are the sort of world renowned perfumers are French based. They're plant based, but they're actually got man made compounds added to use with a naked flame. And with regards to naming them, sometimes I come up with a name first, but I'm usually influenced by sort of what's around, the flora and the fauna that grows. I have a Cliffs candle.
Is there a smell of the wild Atlantic or
the
if
wild
there
Atlantic
is?
Way. my best selling candle. Yeah, the Atlantic. Yeah. So sea salt is that's a good one. With the driftwood or sort of marine sort of scents as well.
Wow.
So anything that evokes a memory of a visit to the Cliffs of Moher is you know, it's positive really for
good.
Somebody to take that home.
And they're selling well that line there, yeah?
They definitely are, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mark, when we talk about packaging, and I know, you know, often if you're talking about retailing candles, the science and the art of having good, strong packaging is
very important.
Is critical. Tell me about that.
It's a hugely important part of it. When somebody comes into a store, especially if they're not unaware of your brand, how your brand is presented, and that starts with the packaging, really, and that it looks premium and it's easy to understand. We've always been sense inspired by travel and nature, and colour is a big part of our thing. So we've defined colour for every fragrance that we use. When people like lemongrass and ginger or French linen water, no matter what the country, it's here, Italy or Germany or Japan, they very much identify the colour. So for us, colour has always been, for us personally, it's been a big part of the appearance. So very striking colour, and then people like can identify a fragrance with the colour. So again, like with the guys, we all use, and it's lovely to hear Lisa there talking about using natural ingredients, natural fragrances and stuff that that come from buying in Europe as well is very important, you know. And we all do that. I think it's but when you get to a retail environment, how your brand is presented is everything. And we put a lot of time and effort into that. And we try and have a kind of a very bespoke look that we can offer our distributors here in Ireland and abroad.
And also, if you're operating in the higher end of the market,
yeah,
the packaging and how the goods are presented is
everything as well.
It has to
and
be.
We use recycled paper for all of our packaging. It's made from pre-recycled paper, and our vessels are fully recyclable. And, you know, it's all about, it's very, you're dead right, it's a very good question. It's very important how it's presented as well.
Vincent, we've been talking all day on the show about the tariffs.
Yeah.
You were expanding into the UK, or you were certainly on that journey.
Into America, yeah.
Can I ask your thoughts on, you know, where you are, or what are your thoughts today versus 3 weeks ago?
It's a very hot topic at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah.
We were at Atlanta there. Max Benjamin were out there as well. We had a hugely successful show. That's our second year out there. All our growth plans in the next 5 years were based around America. I mean, we're doing very well in Japan, Dubai, but we really saw great growth in America and great enthusiasm for our product out there as
right.
well. Being Irish, being older than America. I mean, we're 4 years older than America. When you get that across to the Americans with the
Irish heritage,
they
absolutely love it. They
love that story. So, yeah, it's not going to be, who knows what.
And if you looked at the price of the, I suppose, the competition out there, which I presume you did on your visits there, were you were able to compete pre-tariff, were you?
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. And I still think price-wise, when we throw the tariffs in, we're going to be there or thereabouts a lot with American companies as well.
So
my major concern would probably be at this stage is that the American people aren't going to have as much money to spend.
Yeah, you know? I think you might be right.
Yeah, you know, like the tariff is going to hit. That's 20%. There's no avoiding it. But, you know, I still think we're going to be, I mean, we got two orders in last night.
Yeah.
From American customers that we met in Atlanta. So they're still seeing a future with us. But I'm just, my major concern would be around how much money people have to spend
correct.
Out there, you know?
And you mentioned about bringing in wax from the States coming the other way.
Yeah, yeah.
Is there a cost then that you're going to see that
imports from the States may? We buy it through a distributor in Europe, so I think it's held. Our prices are held there as well, so we're okay on that. But it's all up for debate. Like, we don't really know yet how Europe are going to respond to this. That I think we need to wait until that happens.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of unknowns. But as it stands at the moment, it's definitely going to affect the price of our product out there. Now, we've gone into America with our more premium collection, so it's more, you know, the products start at $90 and go up to $700. So it's a very different. So I think that can possibly take
that end of the market might be less sensitive.
Yeah. So I think, but I think it's all up for. We don't really know yet. I think it's a little.
Yeah. And Lisa, I assume a lot of people visiting Lahinch and the Cliffs of Moher are indeed Americans who buy your product.
Yeah, we're seeing American tourists already.
Yeah.
I think from St. Patrick's Day, it kind of kicks off then. And I've already had a couple in this morning that are here, and they've already been up to the Cliffs of Moher, so they were out nice and early.
Did they buy any candles, which is more
they
to
did.
The point?
Yeah, they yeah. didn't. They bought a small selection, and they've asked, they took away, they want me to ship some as well.
There you go. So all is not lost. Well, good.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for joining us this morning, Lisa. Good to hear you're working hard down there in West Clare and keeping her lit, as they say.
Keeping her lit. That's exactly it. Yeah.
As the more mature business in the room, we'll give you the last word, Vincent. Business for the next number of years, is it about batten down the hatches now? Make sure you can stabilize all the markets that you're in and keep doing more of what you're doing?
No. Look, we're here 537 years. I mean, we've been through all these challenges the world has thrown at us. And,
You know, it's just another one.
It's just another one. We will come through it and we will continue to try and grow the business. I mean, if we try to stand still and fail, then we're in trouble. So, you know, we have to keep trying to grow it.
Good job.
See where it takes us, you know.
So. Okay, well, it's a great industry. And again, three hardworking individuals. Lisa Barnett from the Irish Chandler and LaHinch, Max van der Berg from Max Benjamin, and Vincent Brady from Rathbones. Thanks indeed for joining me.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.